Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Paul Ryan, Administrator of the Defense Technical Information Center. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is John Thomas. Paul, several years have passed since DTIC transferred to Defense Research and Engineering within the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense. How has this realignment benefited DTIC, and more importantly, how has it enhanced your capabilities and scope of work conducted at the organization?
In a couple of ways. For one, it certainly gave us the opportunity to expand our footprint within the department. We became much more visible to a lot of people that had an idea of what DTIC was about but didn't really know that fully. But standing up as a field activity gave us the opportunity to be more exposed to the department and to do various things. It established credibility in that as a field activity, it was clear that we were the source within the Department of Defense that managed scientific and technical information for the department. That was a big step forward in understanding that there is one central source to go for this kind of information. It also helped in letting services and defense agencies recognize their requirement to provide DTIC with the results of the research and engineering dollars that they're getting in the form of technical reports or technical information and being able to put that in one place. The fact that we're more visible has been one of those things that's also a dual-edged sword. You have a lot of people that now know about you, but we also have then a lot of those requirements that independent organizations have to respond to, data calls that when we were part of another organization, it was nice to have them just take our feed of information and package it together. So, but that price has certainly been one that I've been willing to pay because the other side of that coin has really been the big benefit for DTIC.
Now, DTIC's been referred to as the DoD Technical Information Broker. Could you elaborate on this moniker for your organization?
Certainly. The fact that being the central repository for all the information being produced by DoD or on behalf of DoD lends to that DoD Technical Information Broker. But there's a lot of information that the Department of Defense uses, needs, or should have access to that isn't created by the department or paid for the department. Other federal agencies do a lot of work that is of high interest to DoD. So we work closely with the organizations like NASA and the Department of Energy, for which we have something in common, for which the information needs to be shared. We also have recognized that there is more information being created around the world. So we have had attempts to look at what we can do to reach out and identify that information or organizations collecting that information and bring it in to the Department of Defense, bring it into DTIC, or create links to that information for Department of Defense personnel. Our goal is not to have everything in our building at Fort Belvoir, but what we'd like to do is be able to provide the access mechanism through our websites to this information to make it easier for the DoD customers, be they DoD personnel or the industry partners, to get access to the information they need to do their jobs.
Paul, a couple of years ago, you launched the Research and Engineering Portal. Would you tell us more about this portal? Specifically, how was it developed, who it serves, and where is the portal today?
When we moved back to DDR&E as a field activity, one of the first things they wanted us to help them with is bring all the information they needed together in one spot. DDR&E at that time said, "You know, I want to be able to have one place where I can find out who's doing work in a particular area? When will the work be done? Who knows more about this information? How much are we spending on it?" And the portal was the beginning of an attempt to bring all the information sources together. So we started that effort, launched in April of 2005. We then subsequently have been adding databases as they become identified as this would be a good resource. We've created search engines to cut across the multiple information facets that are available through the Research and Engineering Portal. And we've also continued to improve that with things like single sign-on so that if there are 16 databases within the Research and Engineering Portal, you don't have to remember 16 passwords. We have used a mechanism now where you just have a single password and we keep all the background information and you automatically have access to all 16 databases. Some of the things we need to do in the future and we're working on right now is provide some analysis tools for all this information. it really doesn't do much good to create mounds of information that you can throw on somebody's computer but not give them tools to begin to sift through that information and make some decisions quickly. So, you know, we're going in that direction at this point.
Paul, can you illustrate for our listeners how DTIC is providing technical information to directly support the warfighter?
Yes. That's been pretty important in DTIC's mission for the last 3 or 4 years now, just as it's been very important to the department itself, support to the warfighter. The men and women in uniform around the globe deserve the best that those people working for the department can deliver for them. First, I'd like to talk about the fact that we are hosting a 2-day workshop, the Rapid Technical Support for the Warfighter, and we're hoping to attract members from the COCOMs and the major commands throughout the department to understand what their needs are, to explain to them what DTIC's capabilities are, and to reach a clientele that may not have used us or seen us in the current light and the current way we're organized presently. As far as what we've been doing for a while, our support to the warfighter takes on a number of different venues. At the very basic level, we have reports in our collection that are directly useful to the warfighters. Things that come to mind are during the first Gulf War. There were apparently snakes of a variety in the desert, and servicemen and women needed to be able to identify those, which were poisonous, which were not. We had information in our collection that had color diagrams of these snakes, and we provided them to many of the troops going overseas. And so there's a direct example of providing something that's got a direct relationship to the warfighter. On a broader level, we operate the Information Analysis Center program. This is 7 information analysis centers working in key concepts to the department in very specific slices. This program is organized by virtue of a series of contracts that cover these 7 areas, and the contracts are so structured that DTIC provides some basic core support. But anybody within DOD and other government agencies that needs their services can come through DTIC and put their task effort on these contracts with these information analysis centers and get some very specific work done. Some of the biggest customers for that are the COCOMs, supporting the warfighters directly. Some examples, one of the information analysis centers actually worked up a mobile parts hospital, fabricating parts in theater. They started out with one of these in Kuwait. They have now one in Afghanistan and one in Iraq. About a year ago, the first one that was put in play had surpassed 10,000 parts made on the spot in theater to keep the equipment going. There's an example of direct support to the warfighter. The IACs themselves, if you look at their titles, gives you a pretty good indication of the kind of work they do. So we have survivability, vulnerability. We have chemical bio, energetic materials, defense IAC. We have propulsion IAC. So we have a series of these IACs that directly relate to the warfighter. And finally, I guess the third thing we do that directly supports the warfighter is that we manage well over 100 DOD websites. And many of these websites have information directly relevant to what's going on, to what soldiers, what commanders, what planners need in theater or throughout the world. By maintaining these websites on a customer basis for elements throughout the department, soldiers, sailors, airmen have access to this information.
Paul, can you just share with the listeners, you know, how do you determine when you need an information analysis center, or what is the criteria for establishing an information analysis center?
By regulation, information analysis centers are created or deactivated by the Director of Defense Research and Engineering. In this case, it would be John Young. But in essence, how that happens is a need develops for such an analysis center, and it's generally widely supported over a fair number of elements throughout the department. The latest one created was the Information Assurance Analysis Center. Security of networks, updating patch software, security practices, all obviously within the last decade has been very important. And there became a groundswell that we need a centralized source that can help the department manage those kinds of activities. So once that groundswell is established, once there's then a clear statement of work and what the mission of this IAC is supposed to do, it gets in the pipeline, funding is established, and then at one point DTIC then begins to pick up the funding in its budget line and the IAC moves forward.
Paul, you mentioned earlier some 100 or more websites that your organization hosts. To what extent do your services cut across all of DOD, and what are some of the more recent websites that you're hosting?
The Component Information Support Director within DTIC is the outfit that works for me that is responsible for building these websites, and its name kind of talks about what they do. It's the component information. So we're generally open to requests to support websites from OSD and DOD components. We work joint projects with these efforts. The websites can range from publicly available to limited and classified portals, customized databases, anti-terrorism information. So there's a wide range of reasons that, you know, we might be asked to help somebody with a website. We have certainly demonstrated our expertise through our long work with websites, and I think that also attracts customers. We've began to work in and move in a direction of creating other opportunities for portals and websites to be used throughout the department. Collaborative workspaces for unique communications. We developed the tool called Teamworks that allows defined communities and ad hoc teams to share documents and discussions and calendars. We've worked with the Joint Chiefs of Staff to develop a strategic communication portal for the chairman so that there is one message going out from the chairman that everybody can see, you know, here's the work that and here's the words and here's what we're talking about and here's the straight information on this subject. We've helped with technical and design support for the Joint Chiefs of Staff CIO in helping them develop a decision support environment. We're generally seen as experts in this area that can help somebody with some information, some expertise, and give them an idea once they let us know what the requirements are. Here's some considerations and options you might have. Right now we're working with a UK-US Interoperability Commission, which allows the military staffs of both countries to collaborate on efforts in looking for opportunities for technical cooperation and collaboration. Our websites run a gamut from things like the voting website where DOD, as the executive agents for overseas citizens, has to provide a means for those people to know if they're going to do an absentee ballot, what the procedures are, where they get the forms. And so we've put that website up, not something somebody would typically think that DTIC would be involved in. We've done work for the Iraqi situation in that we have supported an Iraqi virtual science library network where we have partnered with the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, the National Academy of Sciences, and 13 major journal publishers to provide an online access to the world's scientific literature based in journals that the Iraqis lost over a period of the last 20 years. So those scientists and engineers helping to rebuild the infrastructure of Iraq have access to that latest information. Our role was to support the website and the network and make all the pieces come together and go. And we were glad to be a small part in something that is pretty important to the future of Iraq.
Now, Paul, a little bit closer to home, could you tell us about your efforts in renovating the DTIC homepage? What's being done to make it enhance its navigation functionality and maintenance? And will the page have enhanced content management underlying it?
We kind of had a very enlightening moment in a conversation several years ago with an individual that was well acquainted with DTIC. Left the government, went to work as a rehired annuitant, and came back and had trouble finding what he was looking for on our website. He knew all about us. He had written documents and scientific papers and submitted them to us, but he couldn't find anything because we had just so much information on our website. So that was like our aha moment, and it became clear to us that most people are coming to DTIC. The primary reason is I want to find information. So we redesigned our splash page, the DTIC.mil website, so that when that comes up, it's got a block where you just fill in the question that you're hoping to find an answer for. And we've built a lot of things around that that gives you a number of options. You can search simply DTIC's scientific and technical collection for your subject. We've also given you another option to, by clicking over in the center of the page, to search all of DOD's scientific and technical websites. A third option on the right-hand side of that page says, I want to search every public DOD website for information in this subject area. So by virtue of giving a number of options for somebody to either drill down in their initial search, we've enhanced the ability for somebody to find the information. I also had a somewhat ulterior motive. The internet search engines, the Googles, the Yahoos, the MSNs were becoming very, very popular. And a lot of people go there, as they should, for some very basic, quick answers. However, it's my opinion that DOD personnel looking for complex answers to questions supporting research and development are not going to find them in those kinds of websites. So I needed to wean people away from that. So we kind of designed our new splash page to somewhat look like these internet search engines. So there would be some familiarity. And we've also kind of worked with some of these agencies, these internet search engines, so that when they crawl the publicly available documents within our collection, the DTIC documents will come to the top of their searches so that, again, a scientist who may go to an internet search engine, put in a DOD-related topic, will see a DTIC database result coming out. And then I'm hoping that when they click on that full text and they come back to DTIC, they'll stay in DTIC and get to the stuff they can't get to in internet search engines, limited information and classified information.
Great. How is DTIC working with industry? We will ask Paul Ryan, administrator of the Defense Technical Information Center, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.